Blog Talk Radio.
The brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rank of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate your back from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad to teach you hate, you should ask who yourself who taught you to hate being what God gave you.
One white man named Lincoln supposedly fought the Civil War to solve the race problem, and the problem is still here. Another white man named Lincoln, again the same white man, issued the Emancipation Proclamation to solve the race problem, and the problem is still here. Some more white liberals came along with the 13th, 14th, and 5th Amendments, which were supposed to solve the race problem. The problem is still here. 9 years ago, nine more white liberals, so-called, came up with what they call a Supreme Court desegregation decision, and the problem is still here. And then another white man named Kennedy came along running for president and told Negroes what all he was going to do for them if they voted for him, and they voted for him, 80%. He's been in office now for 3 years, and the problem is still here. When police dogs were biting black women and black children and black babies in Birmingham, Alabama, that Kennedy talked about what he couldn't do because no federal law had been violated. And as soon as the Negroes exploded and began to protect themselves and got the best of the crackers in Birmingham, then Kennedy sent for the troops. And there was no, he didn't have any new law. When he sent for the troops when the Negroes erupted, then he had at the time when whites were erupting.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right as a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
The brothers from the Body of Christ welcome you once again to another edition of Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? These shows that we've been doing this month are a reflection of Black History Month, so-called, and what we're doing tonight, you've heard it. We're going to look at statements made and things that Malcolm X stood for to see if they line up with the scriptures and is what was needful for our people. I'm your host, Kakum Gabar, and we have other brothers on the line. We'll start with the brother from New York. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm here. I said hello, everybody. How's everybody doing? This is Brother Dewar from New York. Shalom, everybody.
Okay, the brother from Atlanta, GA.
Shalom, everybody. This is Anthony from Atlanta.
And our
technical brother extraordinaire from across the pond in the UK.
And shalom to all the brothers and sisters and those that's listening on our BTR.
Okay, so once again, we're the Brothers from the Body of Christ Church. This show is titled, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? And what we're doing is we're looking to examine things said and stated by Malcolm X, who was either a spiritual leader or a worldly leader, based on what we can extract out the scriptures to determine the thing that's needful for our people. What we do on this show is we examine clips, interviews, based on interviews or speeches that people have put forth, and we look at these people based on them leading our people into a situation that would be better for us as a people. Our stance is that if we're going to follow a leader, we need to follow a leader that's going to be dealing with thus saith the Lord and nothing else. So having said that, like I always start out on the program, I'll start with you, Gadaiwan. Any first impressions or any things you want to bring out just before we start getting into this?
Sure. I mean, Malcolm X was like almost the flip side of Martin Luther King. He was more militant and outgoing, whereas Malcolm was more trying to do things in the, Martin was trying to do more things in a peaceful manner, where Malcolm was more, what you would say, assertive. But both of them, in their approaches, they neglected to put the Lord in it, where even Malcolm was dealing with Islam, which we as the people of the Lord ain't supposed to be dealing with Islam or no other religion because the Lord didn't give us that.
Okay. All right. How about you, Duat?
Well, back when I was in my teenage years, this was the, I guess this was the man that put me on the path of trying to seek some type of truth. He was like a, he was a role model of mine when I was growing up, for the same reasons that I've seen people oppressed or any minority people, he spoke against it, and I gravitated towards that. Very educated, well spoken, overcame trials and tribulations in his life to become a man that he was. So that was just somebody that I looked up to back then, and just like the statement the brother made, knowing now that it wasn't the right, the right path that he chose, but he did change people's lives in some type of manner. So, that's about it.
Okay, all right. What about you, Anthony?
When I was young, I was like 11 years old, and my middle school, we went on a field trip to see Malcolm X, and it was a pretty good movie, and I had reverence for him. I didn't know him too much because down here in the South, we was inundated with Martin Luther King, but now knowing the truth, I learned that, men like this, like the brother said, he was preaching another gospel. He was teaching our people to follow Islam. And Islam is not going to show our people how to come to the truth, because the Most High never gave us Islam to begin with.
Right. Well, let me just add a little bit here so people understand. When he started out with the NOI, or Nation of Islam, their brand of Islam coming for him through Elijah Muhammad from Wallace Fraud Muhammad wasn't even accepted as Islam. The Black Muslim Nation of Islam brand of Islam was not accepted by the masses of Islamic people throughout the world. That's why one of the things when we find out he left the Nation of Islam and started to practice Sunni Muslim. He proclaimed to be a Sunni Muslim, And that was when he was accepted, and that's when he made his Hajj, that trip that they have to make over there to Mecca. But what I'll do is I'll start right out with a short bio. Malcolm X, born May 19, 1925, died February 21st, 1965. His birth name was Malcolm Little, and he's also known as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. He was an African-American Muslim minister, public speaker, and human rights activist. To his admirers, he was a courageous advocate for the rights of African-Americans, a man who indicted white America in the harshest terms for his crimes against black Americans. His detractors accused him of preaching racism, black supremacy, anti-Semitism, and violence. He has been called one of the greatest and most influential African-Americans in history, and in 1998, Time named the autobiography of Malcolm X one of the 10 most influential nonfiction books of the 20th century. Malcolm X was born in Omaha, Nebraska. The events of his childhood included his father's lessons concerning black pride and self-reliance, and his own experiences concerning race played a significant role in the Malcolm X adult life. By the time he was 13, his father had died and his mother had been committed to a mental hospital. After living in a series of foster homes, Malcolm X became involved in a number of criminal activities in Boston and New York. In 1946, Malcolm X was sentenced to 8 to 10 years in prison. While in prison, Malcolm X became a member of the Nation of Islam. And after his parole in 1952, he became one of the nation's leaders and chief spokesmen. For nearly a dozen years, he was the public face of the controversial group. Tension between Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad, head of the Nation of Islam, led to Malcolm X quitting the organization in March 1964. He then became a Sunni Muslim and made a pilgrimage to Mecca, after which he disavowed racism. He subsequently traveled extensively throughout Africa and the Middle East and founded Muslim Mosque Incorporated, a religious organization, and a secular pan-Africanist organization of Afro-American Unity. Less than a year after he left the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X was assassinated by 3 members of the group while giving a speech in New York. So we have it. That's a quick bio on the man and the Godwin. If you could, what we're going to deal with is some of his philosophy. Now, what we're going to deal with is, and I'll try to identify when I can, because we have to deal with and define things based on him when he was in the Nation of Islam, the black Muslims, with Elijah Muhammad, taught through Faraj Muhammad. And then we have to look at when he denounced that organization and he started his own organization and he became a Sunni Muslim. We'll distinguish between, because he did have somewhat of a change of philosophy, but just the same, it was a philosophy. And last time I checked, the scripture doesn't tell us to deal with philosophy, or if we're going to follow the creator, we have to do just that. So, Godwin, could you cue up clips 1, 2, and 3, if you could?
1, 2, and 3.
One, two, and three, please.
Right, personal, political, black nationalism, which means that the black man should control the politics of his own community and control the politicians who are in his own community. My personal economic philosophy is also black nationalism, which means that the black man should have a hand in controlling the economy of the so-called Negro community. He should be developing the type of knowledge that will enable him to own and operate the businesses and thereby be able to create employment for his own people, for his own kind. And the social philosophy also is black nationalism, which means that instead of the black man trying to force himself into the society of the white man, we should be trying to eliminate from our own society the ills and the defects and make ourselves likable and sociable among our own kind. You seem to be dissatisfied with everything. Just what do you want? I'm not dissatisfied with everything. What you're able to see with your analytical mind is that everything that is offered doesn't produce what it's supposed to produce. And I'm just telling you that it doesn't produce what it's produced, what it's supposed to produce. But what is your ultimate aim? The only way the problem can be solved, first, the white man and the black man have to be able to sit down at the same table. The white man has to feel free to speak his mind without hurting the feelings of that Negro. And the so-called Negro has to feel free to speak his mind without hurting the feelings of the white man. Then they can bring the issues or one of the laws out on top of the table and take an intelligent approach to get the problem solved. That's the only way that they'll ever do it. We need an action program while we are Muslim, while we are Christians, while we are whatever we are. We still need an action program that will eliminate these evils that are in our community. This is what we're trying to do with the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. If you consider yourself militant, I can tell myself nothing.
Find out is when did he cease to be Elijah Poole and get to be Elijah Muhammad? In 1931, I think it was, in Detroit, he was taught the true history of our people and made aware at that time that he was wearing an English name, and by not being an Englishman, he looked out of place. And his teacher gave him the name that he's wearing today, Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad. Well, now, when did he become what he purports to be in your literature, the son of Allah?
I've never heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad referred to as the son
the
of Allah.
The prophet of Allah.
Okay. I've never heard him referred to as the prophet of Allah.
What do you refer to?
The messenger of Allah.
The messenger of Allah. And I appreciate the correction.
Yes. I mean, he says that a prophet is somebody who predicts the future, and he's not predicting the future, whereas a messenger is someone who carries a message that has been given to him by one who authors that message.
Well, now, who gave him the message, and to whom is it supposed to be delivered?
Master W.F. Muhammad. The one who taught him is the author of the message. He gave it to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which makes him the messenger. And he's to deliver that message of truth and righteousness to the 20 million American so-called Negroes, which means he's to teach us the truth, which will awaken us, and then show us how to live a life of righteousness, which will automatically qualify us for recognition as human beings by all other righteous human beings here on this earth.
Do you feel that your message, apparent message of love that you brought back from Islam is the real reason they're after you, because you're not hating as hard as they want you?
Well, I never did hate anybody hard. But I do know that when I wrote that letter saying that there were white people in Mecca, it shook up a lot of Muslims, because most of the Muslims who follow Mr. Muhammad absolutely believed that it was impossible, physically impossible. I should say divinely impossible for a white person to go to Mecca. And my trip there shattered that image or that misconcept.
Anyone called you directly, Malcolm?
I've been receiving calls ever since I left the Black Muslim Association.
What sort of calls? This is chanted in view of the fact that these men who were your brothers are making threats against your life?
No, because actually it's not their fault. Most of them, now Joseph and the officials, they have a knowledge of what it's all about. But the rank-and-file Muslim brother does not know what it's all about. They are out of religious sincerity. They think that they are doing the will of Allah by protecting a man who I myself taught them was divine. So I don't in any way fault them. But those who are over them and give the orders, and actually the ultimate order comes from Elijah Muhammad himself. As long as I represented the Black Muslim movement as an example of morality, unity, and militancy. As long as I could do that, I represented it. It was when I realized that it could not be represented as that I came on and started working among the non-Muslim Negroes, as I announced in January. And I had no intention, or rather March, and I had no intention of ever even speaking on this. Had they left me alone, you still wouldn't know what really took place.
So what I wanted to do is let those clips play, because basically clips 1 and 3 were statements made by Malcolm X, or I'll just say Malcolm X to just, you know, everybody should know what we're talking about. But I think a lot of the accounting of the things that happened with Malcolm X is not really open to people, and they don't really have knowledge of it. But basically the clips 1 and 3 where he talked about his philosophy, his political and social philosophy, it sounded like it was like a lot of separatism on how blacks had to control the government, so on, and control their own economy, so on and so forth. That was made after he had left the Nation of Islam. Clip 3 was also made after he left the Nation of Islam, because he was talking about the threats he was receiving by reversing himself after finding out that his teacher, Elijah Muhammad, was a hypocrite and was involved in several issues concerning fornication and fathering many, many kids out of wedlock, and using money from the nation itself to support those children. So the second clip was the one clip where he talked about how Elijah Muhammad was the messenger that was sent from who they considered their Messiah as Farad Muhammad, and how he was delivering a message of truth and righteousness for people. Now, I said all that to review that. Can anyone explain to me why or why not those things do not line up or they line up with the scriptures? Can anyone explain to me? Also, one of the things he said in he used to teach the brothers in the third clip we played, when he said he wouldn't blame the rank and file members of the Nation of Islam because they didn't know what was going on. He said because he was one of the ones that used to teach that Elijah was divine. And could we just have a little brief, brothers, could we have a brief explanation of how those things either line up with the scriptures or they don't line up with the scriptures? And anyone can take a stab at it first starting out.
Well, as far as the teaching that that Elijah Muhammad is divine, that obviously goes against the scriptures. And let me say, by the way, you have Islam. They teach that Islam is supposed to be a continuation of the scriptures of the Bible, which
right.
is definitely not true. Now, I don't know what the Nation of Islam believe in that, because, of course, you know, the Nation of Islam is, you know, different from regular Islam. But I know that regular Islam, they teach that it's a continuation of the scriptures. Now, I want to go into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And so this is what the Most High says. Let's see. It says, cursed be he.
You want verse 5, I think.
Yeah, verse 5. It's Jeremiah 17. No, I'm in Ezekiel. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Jeremiah 17 and 5. And it says, here it is. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be he that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And that was, he made it very clear that was one of his mistakes, is that he taught men to follow a man, which is Elijah Muhammad. And, you know, we're not supposed to be following a man. We're supposed to be following the Heavenly Father and his son, Jesus Christ, because they committed no sin. You know, you're not going to read in the Bible where Christ had sexual indiscretions with young girls. Christ was perfect, and he gave us that example to follow after the steps of the Heavenly Father. Now, I want to go also into 1 Peter 2 and 21. It says, this is 1 Peter 2 and 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither guile was found in his mouth. So Christ was not, again, you're not going to read about him stealing and lying from people, lying to people. You're not going to read about sexual indiscretions or fornication issues with Christ. So that's the mistake that Malcolm X made, is that he taught men to follow a man, and that's something that we're never to do, because our problem as a people, as the Israelites who we are, we always follow man, and we never follow the Heavenly Father and his word. And that's what messed Malcolm X up, you know, to his destruction.
Right. Okay, Dwight. Basically, what the first part of this is, we're getting into his philosophy and how he developed his philosophy. And we looked at his secular or his economic or social philosophy on the black man controlling his economics, so on and so forth. Then what the brother Anthony was just tackling was how he was teaching that Elijah was divine and how he was in a Islamic religion. And basically, though, when he was teaching and he was in the Nation of Islam, he was teaching that Elijah was the messenger, how he taught us true history, and how he wasn't a prophet, he was just a messenger. Could you give me some insight on, you know, whether that lines up with the scriptures, that philosophy, or is it outside or the guise of the scriptures?
Brother Anthony dealt with the spiritual or the religious aspect of his philosophy. I'll deal with the one part where his economic, you know, idea came in where, you know, black people must, you know, control their own, you know, finances and all that. I'll read the scripture in Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter and the 20th verse. And it says, "The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me." So one example, if anybody knows about it, in the 1920s, I think you had in Oklahoma City, I'm not sure, you had, it was called Black Wall Street. During the Depression, so-called black people had their own community, they had their own little city, and they had their own banks, school systems, everything. And they were, how can I say, progressing while the country was in the Depression. So what the government did was drop bombs on them. So you had an instance, or an example of that happening. But what happened is not because the white man's a devil, which he is, but the Lord is against us because of our doings, the wickedness of our doings. So any, so we had examples of that back then in the 20s, and you probably had examples of that in what you had in Florida, where that little, I forgot what, that movie they made, where they had that black little community that was thriving.
Rosewood.
I forgot what it was called, with Vin Rames.
Rosewood.
Yeah. So you have examples of that, but what happens? The Most High always said, oh, that curse is always with us. So regardless if you try to get yourself out of this curse or the curse that the Most High sent upon us financially or spiritually, the Most High is always going to be against us because why? We're never recognizing the wickedness of our doings.
Okay. Go ahead, Godiwin. Godiwin, you there? Godiwin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, my mic was turned off because I was speaking to someone offline.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just want to go to Colossians 2, verse 8. It says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So that's what, you know, the conclusion that Malcolm X came to is that that whole philosophy was unprofitable. It was deceitful because everything that he learned from Elijah Muhammad, his teachers, he was like, you know, I would have followed it, but the man didn't even believe it himself. So why am I going to follow that? So we're supposed to follow Christ. We're not supposed to follow after different philosophies, whether it's economics or politics. Because when you look in the scriptures, all the answers is there. The scriptures tell us what? To obey the powers that be. We're not supposed to be trying to raise up and overthrow the government. And you see how well that worked. Everyone that tried to do that, where are they now? They're dead, okay? Mm-hmm. Or they've crossed over into to the system. Now, as far as you said, you know, the followers are not to be blamed. That's not true, because Proverbs 14 and 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looking well to his goings." So people just take what their pastors, their ministers says, or, you know, we're dealing with Islam, so your iman, they just take it for what is what they're saying as truth without examining themselves. And, you know, for a lot of people, if you looked at Islam, what Malcolm X was dealing with, really he started to cross over and deal more with the Bible, because in one of his books he actually wrote that the Negroes in America were part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I'll leave it there.
Yep.
Yep, that's a good point. When you look at this whole movement, let's just go back to the black Muslim movement in America. It was the face that we all recognized readily, you know, growing up in our time. Me, a little bit before a lot of you guys, was me. I understood it, the face on it was Elijah Muhammad, right? And this is where this guy was trained, nurtured, and mentored by this Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, that is. And they had a whole doctrine, a religious philosophy that they were rolling with together. And we can see, you know, from what the one clip we already played where he said Elijah Muhammad was the messenger. But then when you look at it and you examine it, where did they get that from? They got it from a man by the name of Wallace Fard Muhammad. And this guy's origins and how he came to be in existence is very, very sketchy. And one thing that I found interesting when I was doing the research is that Wallace Fard Muhammad developed this philosophy after dealing with the Moorish Science Temple. And that's a whole nother philosophy of Moorish Science Temple of America, believing that the Moors were like Islamic. But then he came out with this whole doctrine and philosophy. And I remember being younger, being influenced by some of my relatives, cousins that I really looked up to. They were indoctrinating me into this whole black Muslim movement in the 60s. And one of the things what I found really crazy was when they started telling me about Yaqub, the big head scientist that was grafting a white man, because it was this big thing about the white man, because we as a people don't know that we're at fault for our condition. We don't know that. We want to blame everybody. And then we want to cry to the people we blame it for relief, reparations, civil rights, emancipation, and all this other crap. And it's such a retarded, like, kind of concept. It just baffles me. But this whole movement sprung from a man and a philosophy. He founded the Nation of Islam in 1929. This is Master or Wallace Fard Muhammad. He took as a disciple Elijah Muhammad, who took as a disciple Malcolm X, and this is what they were rolling in. And then the one clip we heard about Malcolm X saying that he found out that in the end, Elijah Muhammad was a hypocrite. And the scriptures tell us that we're not supposed to be hypocrites. But now what I want to deal with is I want to deal with some of the things. I had to do that because now we got to deal with some of the things that he was going into and what some more of what his philosophy was about when we look at this thing. Now, let's go to – now, this is after he found out – this next clip is after he found out that Elijah Muhammad was a hypocrite and that philosophy he was dealing with was – he got kind of disenchanted because of what he found out. So, Brother Godwin, if you can cue up clip number 4, please, and play that.
Okay. Do you feel as your message, apparent message of love that you brought back from Islam is the real reason they're asking you, because you're not hating as hard as they want you to?
Well, I never did hate anybody hard. But I do know that when I wrote that letter saying that there were white people in Mecca, it shook up a lot of Muslims, because most of the Muslims who follow Mr. Muhammad absolutely believed that it was impossible, physically impossible. I should say divinely impossible for a white person to go to Mecca. And my trip there shattered that image or that concept.
Anyone call you directly, Malcolm?
I've been receiving calls ever since I left the black Muslim movement.
And what sort of calls?
Something is disenchanted in view of the fact that these men who were your brothers are making threats against your life?
No, because actually it's not their fault. Most of them, now Joseph and the officials, they have a knowledge of what it's all about. But the rank and file Muslim brother does not know what it's all about. They are out of religious sincerity. They think that they are doing the will of Allah by protecting a man who I myself taught them was divine. So I don't in any way fault them. But those who are over them and give the orders, and actually the ultimate order.
You then perhaps now should take over the leadership of the black Muslims.
No, I have no desire to take over the leadership of the black Muslims, and I have never had that desire. But I do have this desire. I have a desire to see the Afro-American in this country get the human rights that are his due. I believe that the Islam religion is the best religion for our people because it creates unity and it gives one dignity and racial confidence and all of these things that are necessary to make a complete human being.
So,
are you not perhaps afraid of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man all this.
What do you mean?
When you understand the makeup of the Muslim movement and the psychology of the Muslim movement, as long as any, if I myself, and if by having confidence in the leader of the Muslim movement, if someone came to me and I had no knowledge whatsoever of what had taken place and they told me what I'm saying, I would kill myself. The only thing that would prevent me from killing someone who made a statement like this, they would have to be able to let me know that it's true. Now, if anyone had come to me other than Mr. Muhammad's son, I never would have believed it even enough to look into it. But I had been around him so closely, I had seen indications of it, of the reality of it. But my religious sincerity made me block it out of my mind.
So, what I found real interesting with that clip, when he went back and took a reaccount of his philosophy and what he was dealing with, he still came back after he found the contradictions in the man, came back and said what? The Islam religion is the best religion for our people, for them to get the rights and the things that are needful for them to be relieve or alleviate of their issues. Now, having that statement right there, is that something that's based on what the God, the creator of all things, has stated about what is best for our people? I'll throw that one at you, Anthony, starting off.
Okay. I wanted to go into, I wanted to find a New Testament. I got an Old Testament scripture, but I'm going to try to find a New Testament scripture. Because in the end, we're supposed to be following Christ and keeping the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Heavenly Father. I want to go into Luke 1 and 68. It says, Luke 1 and 68, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." So the Heavenly Father had ordained from the beginning that Israel had, who we are as so-called, mainly so-called blacks and Hispanics and the rest of us scattered throughout the world, we are not supposed to be following Islam, Buddhism, this worldly version of Christianity. He didn't give us all of this stuff. He gave us only his laws and his commandments that the children of Israel were supposed to be following, as stated in John 14 and 15. Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if we're supposed to be keeping the commandments, where in the commandments of the Bible that we're supposed to be following Islam, where it tells us that we got to go make a pilgrimage to Mecca and bow down to some stone and kiss it or walk around it or whatever? That's never what the scriptures told us to do, and we're not going to get any type of spiritual enlightenment coming from that. We're only supposed to deal with the God of Israel, and the God of Israel gave us commandments and his son Christ that we fully follow.
Right. Could I let me just add this in, too, because you brought something out, something we have to pay close attention to, because we got to look at the times that we were in at that time when he was raising up him and Martin Luther King and the whole civil rights movement. The whole thing was the reason you had the revolutionary radical stances that certain movements and groups were taking, because let's not forget this, like you said, this worldly Christianity that was contributing to it, because a lot of our people were disenchanted with that version of Christianity that we learned coming off of the plantation, where we were told to take low and get our backs beaten and let anybody misuse us as abusers, and in the end we'll go to heaven and get our reward. So when you look at that, out of that concept came what? A lot of the things that developed, the disenchantment, right? Disenchantment of a lot of the things that were going on through what the organized Christianity, that it's not about a Christ, excuse me, it's not about following Christ. All you have to do is look at the tenets of the different denominations and tell that they're not following Christ. So that's one of the things that developed out of that situation where people were disenchanted. Okay, Dwight, I want you to comment also on the fact that the Islam is the best religion for the remedy of our people, even after he found out the contradictions. Go ahead.
Right. I'll deal with that. One of the statements he made is that Islam is good for the so-called black people here, because I know a lot of when I was studying it, you know, like when I was studying Malcolm X, a lot of people, you know, looked at me crazy, like, why are you following that Moreno, like, you know, why that black dude, why are you looking at him? And lots of times, you know, there was that, always that separation, you know, because if you wasn't like of color, like real dark, then you wasn't really accepted, you know. But I'll read this scripture, and it goes into what we're talking about. This is 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So, regardless, because remember, in another part of scriptures in John 7:24, Christ was talking to the Pharisees when he was healing on the Sabbath. And he said, if you judge, judge righteous judgment, because he was healing on the Sabbath. So we use that scenario to this degree where we can't judge people on the basis of their skin color, because we know that the 12 tribes are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. But what we do know is that anyone starts following the scriptures and starts, you know, depart from iniquity and calls on the name of Christ and puts on Christ and becomes that new man in Christ, which is repentance, then we know that, you know what I'm saying, he is a man of Christ, which is, you know, we know he's an Israelite, because Christ only came and died for the Israelites.
Right.
So for us to be in any other religion, saying that the religion of Islam or the religion of Christianity or the religion of whatever you want to call it, any type of man-made religion, is not going to give us salvation.
Right, because now the image that we're supposed to put on is not about color, because
right.
It would be contrary to what the scripture said. The
exactly.
Scripture said that, what, we would be scattered throughout, what, the four corners of the earth. So when Israel comes back, we're going to come looking like anything and everything that's on this earth. But
right.
Christ summed that up when he said, "My sheep hear my voice." So
right.
Now, when, because you made a statement, I'm glad you said that, and you brought it back. You said, he was saying a white man was the devil, which he is. We're not talking about specifically the white man or the man. We're
right.
talking about that power structure that's rooted in Satan, because
right.
that's what's running this world. Satan is running this world, and that's the thing that we have to come out of and repent from. So that now you brought it back to the true understanding of what the scriptures say, to the dislike of some of our Israelite brother that want to be mad and angry at the so-called white man, because we can't deal with things based on color. Those things are foolish. If you look at persons, people calling themselves black, they're different shades of brown. If you
right.
look at people calling themselves white, they're usually different shades of red on to brown. Right.
right.
So it's
right.
just foolishness from the beginning. So we have to really, really mm-hmm. distinguish it. But see, the whole concept, and this is what I'm saying, is this whole, he said this religion, it's about separatism. Then he goes to Mecca, and then he starts talking about their white-skinned Muslims. So he's in a what? Now he went from separatism, separating himself as a black man. That was one of the tenets. They wanted their own state to be their own government, a country within this country, which would never happen. As you smoke
right.
and crack, you think the power structure is going to let that happen. Then he went
right.
from the doctrine of inclusion. He could have been pals with Carlton Pearson, the guy we did before. You know,
right.
they could have been buddies. So the whole point is, when we're looking at these things and what's coming out, is they're not reflective of what thus saith the Lord, and we're not dealing with thus saith the Lord according to this worldly perverted Christianity, right?
Right.
So anybody else wanted to comment on anything?
Yeah, I wanted to read this scripture. This is Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing though thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So one of the things, interesting things that Malcolm X was saying, Brother Malcolm was saying, was that who took your language? Who took your heritage? Who took your culture? So how are we going to go into a religion and throw ourselves into religion? We don't even know what people we are.
Right, exactly.
When you look in the Bible shows us who took our language, who took our heritage. It's all in the scriptures, because we broke the commandments of the Heavenly Father. That's why we're in this condition. Lord also prophesied that we'd be serving other gods that was newly gods that was sprang up, because Islam is a new religion, okay? Islam is a new religion. I'll say it again. Islam is a new religion that newly sprang up, and our people threw themselves into it, doing what? Following the other nations. But that's not what the Heavenly Father gave us from the start. Now, when you go to the book of Acts, this is Acts the 5th chapter. Mm-hmm. This is Acts 5, verse 35. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men, because they're having a council about Christ's disciples, what they should do with them. Because mm-hmm. they were teaching our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain for these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. So you look at Martin, you look at Malcolm, and many other leaders that rose up and tried to do things for our people. What happened to them? It was not of God, and it didn't prosper. It didn't grow. It did not come to what they assumed or what they envisioned that it would come to, because it was not of the Most High. There's only one Savior that's going to save us. That's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's going to deliver our people out of economic, social, moral dilemma that we're in.
Exactly. And that's a good point. Hey, listen, brothers, let's take a pause for the cause, and then we're going to come back. We want people to pay attention to these promos, because it's information on some of our other activities.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works that come through the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thebocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thebocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
Okay, we're back. We're the Brothers from the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to a show called Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? On this edition of the show, we're examining Malcolm X. We want to know if he was a leader, a spiritual leader, or a leader of the world, meaning indoctrinated in philosophy and idolatry according to this world. So what we've been doing is we've been examining his philosophy, basically his secular philosophy on economics and social philosophies, and his religious understanding or his religious philosophy, and we're seeing if it stands up to the scrutiny of the scriptures. So, Godiwin, real quick, let's get right back into it. What I want you to play is, we heard the clip where he said Islam is the best religion for our people, and we looked at certain things concerning that, and we brought out scriptures. But I want you to play clip 6, and I want you to play that clip, and then I want you to play clip 9 right behind that, if you could. Godiwin. Godiwin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I need you to play clip 6. And clip 9. I need you to stay with me, bro. Don't worry about
okay.
it. We'll
okay.
Do... All right. Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Clip 6.
Yep.
Sir, when the... Muezzin goes up in the minaret twice a day, and he cries to the world, there is but one God, and he is Allah. Do you deny that there is a Christian God?
The Muezzin does this 5 times a day.
5 times, and I only heard him twice.
Well, you were fortunate to hear him twice. But he does this 5 times a day, and the same God that he says, that he expresses the existence of, is the God that the Christians profess to believe in themselves. And the God that the Jews believe in, one God, the creator of the universe. The Muslims believe in the God that created the universe, and I think the Christians do, and the Jews do. Now, as long as all of them are talking about the creator, the Jews may call him Jehovah, and Christians may have another name for him. Those who are Arabic-speaking refer to him as Allah. Well, we believe in the same God. But there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to. We
declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has stopped us from stealing, and we did steal. He stopped us from gambling, he stopped us from cheating, and he stopped us from lying. Stealing runs rampant in homes. Gambling runs rampant in homes. All types of evils and vices that tear apart our community run rampant in homes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't condemn the victim. He goes to work on the victim. He doesn't say to all of you to go to jail because you have fallen victim to the evils that white man has brought into the community. He teaches you and me the religion that God has given to him as the only cure for the evil habit the white man has brought here among us. Profanity, you don't find it among Muslims. He stopped us from using profanity, from being boisterous, from being rude and loud, and encourages us to be courteous, mannerly, and to exercise discipline and respect for authority
at all times. He teaches us all things of law, to respect law enforcement officers, as long as these law enforcement officers respect themselves and respect the law that they represent. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has eliminated laziness from among his followers. He teaches us to be thrifty, channel our money that we earn in an intelligent direction. He has taken us out of the tavern. We don't throw our money away there. He has taken us out of the bars and the nightclubs. We don't throw our money away there. We don't stand on the corner now without a job. When you become a Muslim, he makes us get a job. He makes us go to work. He makes us exercise or exert energy in our own behalf. And all of this type of teaching that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is doing among the black people in this country has been instrumental in producing a new type of people.
We are Africans.
Okay, you can stop it right there. What I'm interested in is clip 6 and clip 9, where he said that the Muslim is the one that makes the announcement that when they do the thing. There is only one God, and his name is Allah, and they announce it usually on a loudspeaker, right? The Muslim is the one that does that five times a day, as he said, and what Malcolm said was that that God he's proclaiming is the same God that the Christians and Jews, how they get that separation with the Christians and the Jews, I don't know, but this is what the world does. They think it's something different, which all of it is different from what the Bible is talking about. But having said that, he says it's the same God. And then, you know, this is what I want you guys to deal with. Then he makes statements in clip 9 about the reason that black men in Harlem or wherever stop stealing, lying, and cheating is because Elijah Muhammad taught them to stop lying, stealing, and cheating. So how does that compare to what the scriptures say as far as what he's talking about is repentance? When you change your ways from that which is wicked, it's repentance. So,
right.
You know, how does that measure up to the scriptures? And first deal with the statement about the same God. First
okay,
deal with that one. Somebody take
let me
that
jump
one.
Off on that. Let me jump off on that. I'll start by going to Joel 2:27. It says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and mm-hmm. that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. So the Lord is telling you who's the God of who is the God of Israel. So the God of the Bible, he's not affiliated with no other gods. Now, the other gods of the nations, whether they're Arabs, because the Arabs come from Ishmael, the Arabs are the one that started that, the Islam religion. That's where you have the Muhammad come from. So Psalms 96 verse 5 says, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So when it speaks about the Lord made the heavens, it's talking about the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. There is none else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So now, Anthony.
Yes.
As far as one changing their ways, is it because Elijah Muhammad told him to? If you were a thief and you stopped stealing, the only way you can get that understanding is through Elijah Muhammad. If you were an adulterer and you stopped committing adultery, the only way you can get that understanding is through Elijah Muhammad?
No, because Elijah Muhammad wasn't doing what he was claiming to do. Because in the end, Malcolm X found him to be a fraud. Mm-hmm. And that's why I brought those scriptures earlier on. That Christ was, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, why was that stuff necessary? It was necessary because the Heavenly Father sent him to teach to us to repent. And this is what Christ was about. He wasn't about hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And that's what Elijah Muhammad was about. He was about his hypocrisy. He gave into his lust, and Christ wasn't about that. So that's the man that we are supposed to be following. I want to get to Matthew 4:17.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 4:17. From mm-hmm. that time, Jesus was that. From Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
So Muhammad, you're not supposed to get your inspiration to repent from Muhammad or any other man, because that man, he had sexual indiscretions. So how are we supposed to be following him? And furthermore, his doctrine is not of the Most High. But Christ's doctrine is of the Heavenly Father, because he tells you that in the book of John, that the doctrine is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So Christ said, listen, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent from what? Repent from sinning. What is sin? Transgression of the laws and commandments of the Bible, that is such as fathering children outside of marriage. The Heavenly Father set up marriage, according to Matthew, I'll get that, 19:5. And this is out the mouth of Christ. He says, and he said, Matthew 19:5, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be twain one flesh. So where does having sex with 16-year-old girls that you're not even married come into play in that? The Heavenly Father said a man and a woman to be together, and that's not what Mr. Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, was doing. So we're supposed to be following Christ, and that's our inspiration for repentance. But, you know, Elijah Muhammad did influence men to repent, because why? Our people like following man, as we stated earlier in the show.
Right, exactly. Okay, Dewat.
Same thing?
Yeah, same thing. Give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I got this is a 1 Corinthians, I got the 6th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
In the 6th chapter and 17, it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Godwin brought it out before about the Most High is only dealing with the nation of Israel. When you read in the Old Testament, the Most High gave us the commandments for us to be an example unto the world, that we should be priests unto him. And then it says, verse 20, it says, for ye are bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when we're joined unto the Lord, the only way we can be enlightened to the understanding of what, not lusting, not committing adultery, not having murder in your heart, the only way we understand that is through Christ. We can't learn that through man. Because I'll give you an example. I know a lot of Muslims out there that they lust after women. You got a lot of Muslims out here that be in the ghettos. They be having these delis out here, and they have sex with these girls. If these girls can't afford to buy baby milk or anything, they be having sex with them in the back. And these guys are Muslims, straight-up Muslims. So if these are Muslims, what kind of example are they setting? Are they saying, if they following Allah, right, if we all celebrating one the same God, how come they're not following the examples of what the scriptures say? If, like Anthony said in the beginning, if Islam is an extension of the Bible, how come they don't understand that? Because it's a false doctrine. The only way we can cleanse ourselves, and I'll get it, in the 2 Corinthians, this is 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when we do that, when we repent in the name of Christ, no longer are we the person that we once was. So we can't say that, you know, I believe in Christ, but I'm still fornicating, or I'm still hating, or I'm still defrauding my brother, or having hatred, or having wicked thoughts against people, you know, trying to steal their money, or whatever it may be. Because the only way we understand how to convert from that old man to the new man in Christ and understand it through the Spirit is how Christ lived, that example through Christ that he set. That's why I read the scripture in Corinthians, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. There's no many different spirits, because if everybody understood the scriptures, we wouldn't have the discussion right now.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Because, you know, you heard how he separated, he said Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, right? And none of those things are supported in the Bible.
Right.
There's one Lord, right? His Father is the creator of all things, right? And he gave us a word to live by. You know, this brand of worldly concept, we are the world Christianity, that's foolishness. That's not the Bible, and we have to knock that thing down. Because the thing that it is, from the old to the new, he's dealing with one people on the planet. There's many nations that he made, But he's only dealing with one nation. He's not dealing with Ishmael. He was dealing with Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons. That's who he was dealing with. That's why
when you get
the Testament, God, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I know brother's going to get me for butchering the scriptures. I'll read it real quick. You understand, though? We read it early. It says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. His people are Israel. So when you're getting this whole la-la love ship, lollybo, all nations one, and we got all these avenues to the one God, and all of us going to be accepted in it. No, God is dealing with absolutes, absolute right and wrong according to him, not what we want to make up according to our mind. Go ahead, DeWise.
I got one to go along with you saying, Psalms 103 and verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Where's Judaism at?
I don't know. Maybe there's another extension scripture or something that we got to find.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? We need to strike up the band and start singing We Are the World. Where is that at in that?
It's not there. Hey, could I get a scripture, Kakao? Because all the things you were saying about how Elijah Muhammad made them. Christ never made anyone do anything. And if you're making someone do it, how are they truly repentant from their sins?
Right.
Those people
are
just going to revert back, just like Israel did.
Mm-hmm.
When Joshua died, when Moses died, they reverted back because when those men were there, they knew that what they were going to bring the punishment and the pain. As far as a lot of things he's saying, it's contained in the scriptures, like listening to police officers. That's Romans, the 13th chapter. I just the first and second verse. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is Romans 13, verse 4. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, but with no power but God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power and resisted the wickedness of God, and they that resist just cleave to themselves damnation. So the scriptures already show us all things that we're supposed to do. In many Malcolm's writings, when he was referring to Elijah, Elijah was showing him the Bible. Elijah Muhammad was showing him the scriptures, the Bible.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, there's one other thing. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Because you mentioned, you kind of mentioned the scripture, kind of a little halfway. It's Ephesians 4 and 4. Because I wanted to also address Malcolm X saying that, you know, it's all one God, and the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims all believe in one God. Ephesians 4 and 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm going to jump up one verse, Ephesians 4 and 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. So it's, you know, a lot of Muslims say, well, Allah is just Arabic for God. That's not the case. Now, maybe it is Arabic for God, but I'm not getting caught up in the name. I'm looking at the doctrine. And the reason why I don't follow Allah, because not because it's Arabic for God, is the doctrine that they're teaching, and they're teaching people to follow Islam, which is, you know, you got to, you know, what they say, Abraham built the cobblestone. You don't read that in the scriptures. Well, we got to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Where is that in the scriptures? You know, those things are not in the, what else they say, that Muhammad is the comforter? That's not supported in biblical text. So, you know, it's not about the name. It's about the doctrine that we are supposed to be keeping, which is the commandments of the Heavenly Father. Anything outside of that is foolishness and is wicked, because it's not going to show the children of Israel how to come to their God, the God of Israel. So this whole you know, all religions are one and there's one path to God, that's foolishness, because that's not what the scriptures are saying. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5.
Exactly. You know what I want to look at, too? Because even in his conversion after he left the Nation of Islam, could you get clip number 12 for me, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Clip number 12, could you play that clip? Because this is something he dealt with after the conversion from the Nation of Islam or Black Muslim movement to Sunni Muslim. Let's play this clip.
My going to Mecca and going into the Muslim world, into the African world, and being recognized and accepted as a Muslim and as a brother may solve the problem for me personally. But I personally feel that my personal problem is never solved as long as the problem is not solved for all of our people in this country. So I remain Malcolm X as long as there is a need to protest and struggle and fight against the injustices that our people are involved in this country.
I'm prepared to go into the United Nations at this point and ask that charges be brought against the United States for its treatment of American Negroes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Please. The audience will have to be quiet. Yes, as I pointed out when I was doing my traveling, that nations look, African nations and Asian nations and Latin American nations look very hypocritical when they stand up in the United Nations condemning the racist practices of South Africa and that which is practiced by Portugal and Angola and saying nothing in the UN about the racist practices that are manifest every day against Negroes in this society. Even in South Africa, those Africans aren't faced with bayonets and aren't faced with police dogs. I would be not a man. If I was in a position to bring it in front of the United Nations and didn't do so, I wouldn't be a man.
Malcolm, do you intend to lead the charge in the United Nations?
Well, I find that to say you're going to lead something creates...
Okay, now... Even after his conversion and not being a racist, as he said after he went to Mecca on a pilgrimage, he's still seeking men for alleviation of the problem of oppression on a certain people. And he even noticed that it was different among the peoples in Africa he was dealing with. When he came to America, it was what? More harsh and more what? Outrageous, the treatment of those people. So, when you examine that, does the scriptures gives us indication of who's in captivity and what their remedy to come out of captivity is going to be, isn't it? Somebody give me something on that.
Say again. Would you say something?
I said the scriptures tell us who's in captivity and why and how they're going to get brought out of captivity, and it's not going to be based on the UN. Could you give me some understanding on what the scriptures say about why the captivity is and how we're going to come out of it.
Right, I'll start. This is Deuteronomy 28:15. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So one of the curses that Malcolm X was very pronounced in saying is that what? We didn't land on Plymouth Rock landed on us. That's mm-hmm. in the scriptures. This is Deuteronomy 28:68. It says, "The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships." So we know that Egypt isn't a physical Egypt. It's a condition, because Egypt was synonymous with bondage. So how did we as blacks get to America? We got here by cargo slave ships. Everyone knows this is undeniable. "By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold." The place where we was brought on these ships, we were going to be sold for what? Unto your enemies, not your friends, for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. So that tells us exactly why we're in the condition that we're in, why we were sold into captivity, into slavery, because we broke the law's commandments. And going into these different religions and ideologies is also a result of us breaking the Most High's commandments, because we lost off our identity. Now we're stabbing in the dark and trying to find ourselves through different religions, cultures, ideologies, and philosophies. And it goes right back as far as what's the remedy. The remedy is Christ. We read the scripture over and over and over and over and over and over again, which is that Luke 1:68.
Right.
Yo. Can I add to that one?
Go ahead, bro.
This is the same book. This is the 32nd chapter, and I got two scriptures. This is the 39th verse. It says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So any type of idea or any type of format you try to come up with to alleviate the oppression of our people, Most High ain't with that, because nobody's going to upstage the second coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that, and through many various movements, and it's not going to happen. People got to understand it. And the second scripture I got is verse 28. And it says, For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. So the Most High just reiterated the fact that, man, if they understood what, you know, if they only understood what they were doing, and listen, it ain't going to be pretty, man. They really going to be in a situation where there's going to be no remedy. The only remedy is Christ.
Exactly.
And you see then that they didn't all the miracles that the Most High did in the wilderness, they still didn't believe. And even up to this time, they still don't believe.
Exactly. Now, but a lot of people have a hard time because of this worldly Christianity and the philosophies that have developed based on the disenchantment with this worldly Christianity using the Bible. A lot of people don't even accept this Bible as a book that's going to lead or give us instruction to lead our people from captivity to freedom or from darkness to light. And what I want to deal with now is I want to go into a quick teaching point. One of the brothers, Nathaniel Essex, he put in the chat, it's on my teaching point, in Islam, Jesus is a prophet, but not the Savior. This is heresy. And this is why we can't, it's not the same God, not the same religion, because that's the one point. And that's what I want to deal with on my teaching point. That's what I had highlighted. Because when you deal with this Bible, I'm going to just read one scripture. We don't have to read many. I'm going to read this Bible and listen to what we as a people need to get an understanding. Acts, the 5th chapter. If we understood this, we would be way better off in understanding on why things are. So now, Acts, the 5th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 29. It said, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" So any man coming with something that's outside the word of God, we're not supposed to follow that. We're supposed to follow the word of God as it is written, not the one that's dressed up, perverted, and promoted in this earth because it was what? Appealing and soothing to everyone. No, we got to follow the word of God. Why was Paul and the other apostles going to places, not being accepted, thrown in jail, beat up, told that they shouldn't teach this doctrine? Because it's the same thing that's going on in the world now. You are dealing with a lot of our people, especially that are non-believers. They weren't getting thrown in jail for nothing. Christ was not hanging on a cross and beat and abused for nothing. It was being done because what? The world was blinded by Satan, just like they're blinded by Satan now. So when Peter read this, he said, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him have God," that one God he said we all believe in, "him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." When I read that Christ was much more than a prophet, as the so-called Muslims propose and promote in what they believe in, because Christ was the savior of the nation of Israel, therefore being a what? Savior of the world. So now this is what we have to get an understanding. If we're going to say we with the one God, because Anthony pulled the scripture when he said there's only one God in Ephesians 4, one spirit. The one God and one spirit told us that what? Christ was a savior for Israel. And this is what we have to get an understanding. Now, on the other point, Godiva, real quick, play clip number 15, and I want to bring out another point, and this is something that we need to pay attention to.
Frankly, it has been a well-known fact, born in the form of rumor, that there has been a great deal of
apprehension at my being out of the Black Muslim movement on the part of the Black Muslims themselves. And I had stated in a newspaper article about an effort to take my life back in January, and at that time the Muslims denied it. In fact, they tried to make it appear to my brother that I was insane. But on a program in Chicago called Hotline, it was moderated by Wesley South, John Ali, the national secretary, admitted, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of these days last week, that they absolutely were going to kill me.
Why are they threatening your life?
Primarily because they're afraid that I will tell the real reason that they've been, that I'm out of the Black Muslim, which I never told, I kept to myself. But the real reason is that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the movement, is the father of 8 children by 6 different teenage girls. Six different teenage girls who were his private personal secretary. 4 of them had 1 child apiece by him. 2 of them had 2 children. One of those 2 is pregnant right now in Los Angeles with his 3rd child. And the one who first made me aware of this was Wallace Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad's son. And it was their fear that if I remained in the Black Muslim movement, this came into the knowledge of the following that they would leave him and follow me. So a plan immediately was set in motion to take me down, put me out, and the statement that I allegedly made, or not that I allegedly made, I did make it, the statement that I made about Kennedy was used as a pretext to take me down. But in reality, it was because I had come to New York and told Joseph, the captain in New York, and the secretary and the minister in Boston about these children that Mr. Muhammad had. And it was that right there was the real reason for my being out of the movie.
If you get out, what do you take to protect yourself from this threat?
I take no steps. I have a rifle. If anybody comes to my house without a good reason, I intend to try and move it. That's all. I'm
wondering if you still...
Now, the reason I had you play that long clip is because, remember, when he started teaching in the beginning, from 1952 when he was paroled, he was teaching things concerning Elijah Muhammad that he was divine. And the thing is that this is what happens, and this is what plagues our people from the very beginning. You can go back in the book of Samuel. When you look at the book of Samuel, they were dealing with the power, the creator of all things, the whole universe. And the people kept hollering at Samuel, "We want a king to be over us like the other nations." And Samuel kept telling them, "You got the supreme being over you." But what has been our problem as a people? We love to follow men. This is a tragic example of what happened with an iconic figure that set his hope in men and not Lord, the Lord. And I'll read it. We read it earlier, but I'll read the scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in men, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Because he stuck on Farad Minister Muhammad, Yaqub, the big head scientist, the mother plane that took Minister Farad Muhammad, and the Elijah Muhammad and his teachings, and he's divine." That's all what? Man worship. Is based on what? The doctrine of man. But let's look at the remedy. If we can only, as a people, understand this one thing. Jeremiah said it. Blessed is the man, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So now, if we can put those two scriptures together and get an understanding, we would fare much better when we deal with this Bible. But my fear is that the Bible has been so tainted by what? Philosophy, different movements, black consciousness, Afrocentrism, pan-centristic movement, so on and so forth. All these things have come, and because people are ignorant of the Bible, they're doing what? Involved in a massive self-destruction. That's what's going to happen if we don't get our minds twisted out of the world and back into this Bible. Because one of the things we'll find if we read the Bible and line the scriptures up, we'll find that what we've been taught all along, coming off the plantation that was Christianity, or things told to us about the Bible, are not true. And then we can use that as a what? Building block, using the foundation as what? Christ. Let me read another scripture before I throw it back to you guys for our closing comments. It just came to mind. I'm going to go to Proverbs real quick, verse chapter 30. Proverbs 30, and I'm going to read verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Let me read that part again. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So a lot of what we're dealing with when we deal with these shows, the latter part is the portion that we find in our people to be liars, because they're denying Christ, they're denying the Most High that sent Christ, and they're what? Suffering our people that follow them to go into what? Darkness and the abyss of what? The bowels of hell is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen to our people who follow these people. We have to understand that the Bible is the true book, is the true understanding, not that tainted version, but the Bible uncensored according to thus saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to throw it back. We got about 2 minutes before we close out with the song. Anyone that wants to take it, take a stab at it, we can give some closing thoughts before we sign off.
I want to go into Acts 5 and 29. Mm-hmm. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God, the God of Israel, rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance unto Israel and remission of sin." So we're supposed to be following God, and God gave us Christ to listen to, and for all Israelite men and women and children to get salvation. So we don't need any other religion, Islam, Buddha, Christianity, whatever. We're only supposed to be following this Bible, keeping the law, statutes, and commandments through Christ.
Okay, good day. Go ahead real quick.
1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So there's no way our people are going to come together in all these different religious sects. That's why the Lord said a remnant is going to be saved. Because when we came out of Egypt before, people still had these different mentalities and thoughts. So the Lord's going to get a remnant. Not everyone's going to be gathered back together as a nation of people. A lot of our people are going to be destroyed. They're not going to make it.
Exactly. Okay, brothers, with that, we're going to get ready to sign off. As usual, the question is, are you smarter than your pastor? That's what it always should be. For DeWatt in New York City, Anthony in GA, Atlanta, Georgia area, and Godaiwan in the UK, myself, Kakongabar, we sign off, and we hope this class was edifying according to thus saith the Lord.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
You know that
thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.